News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Of course, though, Ciara, COVID never far off the agenda. The teaching conferences, teachers' unions conferences taking place this week. They're not happy that they are no longer up the list of those about to be COVID to be vaccinated. It is now going to be done on the basis of age, and they are threatening industrial action. You're not impressed.
I'm not really, Shane. And the reason is that the idea that we have to deal with a further threat now to our children's education on the back of them already having two academic years messed up, I think it's kind of deeply disturbing, to be honest. It says in page 4 of the Irish Times today that the majority of teachers are saying that kids have disengaged with remote learning. So for them to know that and for them still to be talking like this and threatening industrial reaction, I find it shocking and appalling. And I actually believe that the education system, call me naive, I believe the education system should be run for the benefit of the students and the children within it. In the same way I believe the health service should be run for the benefit
And often isn't.
But that does not make it right.
Yeah.
That's who should be at the heart of this conversation, the children and what is best for the children. And quite frankly, if we were doing what was best for the children, we wouldn't be on the Easter holidays now. Easter holidays would have been flipped into remote learning time and they'd all be back in school. We're not running education for the benefit of our kids, and I don't like it, and it worries me and it scares me that no one seems to care about this. And the vaccine schedule that has been brought in is the right one. You do not vaccinate based on risk of exposure. You vaccinate based on risk of becoming critically ill.
Yeah.
And older teachers will be now vaccinated ahead of younger teachers, and that is appropriate.
No, I understand, and I don't disagree with that argument. I think it's unfair to say that the education system has been run for the teachers rather than the kids. The teachers wouldn't be in class if that was the case. And it is, they are in an unusual situation. They are in a class from 9 o'clock till 4 o'clock with a group of 30 people, in some cases 30 adults. There's very few other jobs that involve that. There is so I understand the disappointment. Look, I get both sides of the argument. I get where the government is coming from, going in terms of aids. There's a logic to that. But I do understand the disappointment and even the anger that the teachers have. And I wouldn't get too worked up about the industrial action threat. I mean, if we're talking, for example, if we're talking about it taking place, the strike taking place in September, by that stage, the heat will have gone out of it. Everybody will be vaccinated. I think there is an element and an understandable element of letting off steam about this. And I think given that they had been up the list, given the sacrifices they've made over the last few weeks, I think it is inevitable that there will be that disappointment, and it is inevitable that you do need
to
let off steam.
You are more empathetic than I am, because I think when letting off steam involves threatening our children's education further when they are already so disadvantaged and have been so disadvantaged for over a year.
How real is the threat? I mean, even if it was a day industrial action. Well, look, let us know what you think. 53106 for 30 cent, or tweet us at breakfastnt. What do you think about the possibility of industrial action? Are you sympathetic with the teachers or less sympathetic? 53106 for 30 cent, or tweet us at NT Breakfast.
Now let's talk to a man who might know how real the threat is. I'm joined by General Secretary of the Irish National Teachers Organisation, John Boyle. Shane Coleman says you're just letting off steam, John. Is that the case, or are we likely to see teachers withdrawing from schools in industrial action here?
Well, we'll have to wait and see as the conferences progress, Ciara, you know, but I was really delighted to hear that you were stating that the health service is for the benefit of the patients. But you forgot to mention that the health service workers then were prioritised for vaccination. I fully agree with you that the education services for the benefit of the pupils. And until last Monday, we were heading into these conferences, beginning to look maybe beyond the pandemic and at the great underinvestment in education for the last decade, and trying to build on the supports that were put in by government over the last while. But of course, the dishonourable thing was done. They removed all of the frontline staff, the guards, the SNAs, the teachers, from the promise that was made. And it's a promise that has been made in 100 countries out of 150 surveyed this week. Ireland was actually among the 100. We're now down to 99. So, you know, we have to look at the priorities here, Ciara. And the priority for keeping schools open has to mean that if you had 266 schools with confirmed cases since we reopened in February, and 206 of those schools had their cases last week, where teachers are going in and risking long COVID, risking contracting the disease of all ages, young and old, surely to God, our government, if they want to keep schools open, all they have to do is keep a promise of a twin-tracked approach. That we're not looking for them to throw out their new policy on an age-based approach. We're simply looking for them to do the exact same thing that they did with the health workers.
So have the age-based group for everyone except teachers. John, I have to pull you up. You're talking about comparing yourself to healthcare workers. A quarter of all cases have been in healthcare workers, and hospitals didn't close down when there was a positive case. Healthcare workers continued to go to work. I have to ask you this. Teachers appear to be frontline enough to want to be vaccinated ahead of other groups, but not so frontlines that schools need to stay open throughout the pandemic. So which is it? Are you frontline or not frontline?
First of all, I want to clarify, I did not state at any time in the last year that we would be put before vulnerable people. But the guidance that the government issued last week said clearly at number 9, in the age-based approach, that people who lived or worked in crowded settings would also be prioritised at the same time. But suddenly they've dropped the workers and are now only focusing on the people who live in the crowded sessions. The primary schools of Ireland have been open for 20 of the last 27 weeks. The Taoiseach Micheál Martin said very, very clearly at the beginning of February that it was not appropriate to have to try to coerce workers back into schools at a time when infection levels were up to 8,000 or 9,000 per day. We sat down with government immediately after that and we negotiated that we would be back in school from the 11th of February. So for you to say that there was a total disruption of the school year when we had 20 out of 27 weeks. And
on
top of that,
third almost of the school year remote learning, John. And it's in the papers today that teachers are saying, and they are admitting, and they are saying they are concerned about the level of disengagement from students with their education with remote learning. So teachers are saying this, that they're concerned about students' education.
Of course we're concerned. We want to be in school. Nobody wants to have a pandemic throughout
the world. But you seem to think 20 out of 27 is a good hit rate.
Well, let's put it like this. Did we see you going into a workplace that was crowded when there were 8,000 cases? The people of Ireland were put into lockdown by government. The government shut the schools. And you seem to be suggesting that it was because teachers refused to go in. Government shut the schools and the Taoiseach of Ireland said very shortly afterwards that in his opinion, it was the right decision to have them shut for that period of time. We never wanted schools to be shut. Our members want to be in school. You can't teach online for young children in primary.
No, you can't. Public health have said that there is no profession at more risk than another. That's what the data has suggested. And therefore, we do it by age because we do know that older people are more at risk. So are teachers' unions suggesting that in this instance, public health advice should be discounted just especially for teachers? It makes no sense to me.
Absolutely not. We have met with Dr. Kelleher and Dr. Collins on a weekly basis. We have great trust and faith in the reports they give us on the mass testing in schools every week since October when we demanded that we get this clarity. But nevertheless, we are quoting from public health advice and we're forgetting that the same advice that was issued by NIAC last week mentioned that workers in crowded settings, the Gardaí, the teachers, the SNAs, the shop workers, that they would have some priority in this revised programme. And suddenly now that has been dropped. And all I'm asking for is a creative solution here so that you can have your age-based approach at a test centre like the Helix last Friday, 6,500 people done in the one day.
A third of teachers are below the age of 35. So they're young. That's a young workforce. And that's a good thing and a positive thing. It is. But do you really believe a 23 or a 27-year-old teacher should be vaccinated ahead of maybe a 58-year-old Aldi worker who is sitting at a checkout and also seeing hundreds of people over the course of the day, but is 30 years older than them and at just as much risk? But you think a young teacher who is at really a minimal risk of any problems occurring should they contract COVID, you think that they should be vaccinated ahead of that retail worker?
I most certainly
So you do
not.
Support the age-based limit
excuse
then?
Excuse me now. You're cutting across me now. I just want to say to you, the 58-year-old shop worker should have been vaccinated 3 months ago, the same time as the health
workers. We didn't have the vaccines, John, to do that.
We did in January, actually. We're now in April.
We didn't have the vaccines to do that, John.
You asked me the question about that teacher, that younger teacher, okay? That younger teacher working in a special class where there's no social distancing and where it's very, very difficult and where the infection levels are much higher in special schools. surely that younger teacher of age 27 or 28 deserves to be vaccinated before her first cousin, who's studying for a master's in front of a computer in their home for the last 9 months and probably for the next nine. We are simply asking for frontline staff to be given some priority in the programme, not to be moved ahead of the elderly or the people more at risk.
I'll ask you a last question for you, John. This is something that our texters keep asking us. By the time we get to the level of vaccinating anybody in the cohort of teachers, you know, based on age or otherwise, there will literally be a handful of weeks left in the school year before you break up for the summer. Is it really worth upsetting parents? Is it really worth disrupting school years and threatening industrial action, considering the chances of you being in the classroom beyond the stage of vaccination? You could be there for 10 days, you could be there for 20 days, 15 days, something like that. Is it really worth all of this, considering we are approaching very quickly the summer holidays?
Ciara, last July and August, 15,000 vulnerable children had support from teachers throughout the summer in JES schools and special education settings, including in people's homes in the July provision. A lot of our members delivered that. The younger members sign up for that programme every summer, and particularly last year in massive numbers. This programme now risks those members not being vaccinated their first dose until August, and therefore their second dose maybe in September, October. No immunity built up going back into schools in September. It just beggars belief that after a pandemic that has run then at that point for a year and a half, that frontline staff would not have been prioritised by a government. A rich country compared to, you know, 100 countries are prioritising teachers. And suddenly Ireland, who say that it's the most critical thing of all to have schools reopened, drop the critical workers off the list. And no wonder our members feel that they're really let down by that.
Thank you for speaking to us this morning here on News Talk Breakfast. That is the General Secretary of the Irish National Teachers Organisation, John Boyle.